Would you turn, brethren, to we're going to look at one verse to begin in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to read, God willing, verse 19. It's a verse that has stood out in my mind for a long time. I think about it from time to time. It's a wonderful verse. All of God's Word is wonderful. This is especially dear to me and comforting to me. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. It's a statement of fact. It's a statement of doctrine. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable to us. For doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. May this instruct us today. May the Holy Spirit of God come and teach us. 1 Corinthians 15, 19 says this: if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Is that a familiar verse to you? I hope it is. If it's not, it'll be familiar to you after today, God willing. It's a wonderful statement. Paul the Apostle writes it specifically to a church at Corinth in Greece in his day. But that, again, that statement, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is good for us today. Just as good for us at this moment as it was to that church he was writing to in his day. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. I love that verse. I love to think about it. And I won't pray further, brethren, audibly anyway, but you pray, please, as we go along, pray that God would feed me and feed you. This week, I mentioned to you just a few moments ago, I was over in another county, and I was doing the graveside service for my brother-in-law, my late brother-in-law. And he passed away Monday before day, and I was asked to handle the graveside. The graveside. We dig graves. And we put bodies in them. And we cover them up. I had gone with the family to the funeral home, and they picked out a casket, and we talked about his obituary and his survivors and his life a little bit for the obituary. And then we met at the funeral home, and his pastor preached to us about death and dying and the resurrection. And then I, of course, my job was to say some words at the graveside. His body was there in a casket and covered with a flag. He was a veteran. He'd been in the United States Navy back in the 60s, I think it was, and maybe early 70s, 60s, and had served his country. I was contemplating some verses I might use, and I did at the graveside. And I wanted to say some words that would be comforting, some words about life and eternal life. And I wanted to get the family to thinking beyond just physical life and beyond death. And I wanted to think of them to think about life after death. Life after life, actually, our physical life. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." That's John 11:25. And he says, "Because I live, ye shall live also." John 14:19. I quoted from one of our old hymns. I don't know how old it is. It's a lot older than I am, because as long as I can remember, I've been singing it about life going on after death. You'll recognize these words: "When my body's slumbering in the cold, cold clay, I'll live on." Isn't that a wonderful truth, brethren? It speaks of that. It speaks of that verse right there. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. I guess it was a man that wrote that hymn. Might have been a woman. I don't know. But whoever wrote it knew, brethren, that there was hope beyond this life, because that person wrote, after I die, after my body is buried and covered up, I'll still be alive. I'll live on. I want to preach to you, brethren, this morning. God, help me about the resurrection. I've been thinking about it this week because of my task that I was asked to perform at the graveside, and it got me thinking a lot about it. It wasn't the first time I've ever done it. I've done it a few times. And I, every time that I can remember being at a graveside, I've gone to the book of First Thessalonians, the letter of First Thessalonians. And we're going to go there at the end of this sermon. I want to read you some words there. Paul wrote some words, and at the end of that thought, he said, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words that I just wrote to you." They bring comfort. Now, I want to teach you about the resurrection. Maybe some things you don't know, I don't know, but I want to remind you about them anyway. And I want to bring some comforting words as we think about maybe our own demise, because we will die unless the Lord returns first. David, when he was dying, King David, he said, "I go the way of all flesh." Pretty final, isn't it? Pretty all-encompassing, all flesh. I'm headed that way, that everybody that's died before me is gone. David says, "I'm about to go on that path." And we'll talk about that a little more. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Brethren, do you have hope in Christ today? In this life, if you do, brethren, you have hope in the next life. You have security. You'll live on. You'll live on. The Lord is my shepherd. If you have hope in Christ, brethren, the good shepherd, then, brethren, you're blessed. He shepherds you in this life. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I will not lack anything that I need in this life because God, Jesus, is my shepherd. He walks me through this life. He guides me. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His own sake. Prepares a table before me in dangerous times in this life, in the presence of mine enemies. He anoints my head with oil. He gives me good things. He lifts me up. He guides me. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. He'll be good to me. He'll be merciful to me. Good things will happen to me. Bad things too, but He'll be with me in them. And when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear it because He's with me. And if you take that to mean death itself, that He's going to go with me through death, you can, and you'd be correct in my opinion. It may mean dangerous places. He'll be with me. No need to fear because He's with me. But if it means death, if you take it to mean death, no need to fear that because there's life on the other side. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Brethren, I have hope in Christ. I have faith in Christ. I have blessings through Christ in this life right here. And you do too. If you love Him, and if you do, it's because He already loved you from eternity. But I want to talk, brethren, a little bit. Paul says to this church, these believers that lived hundreds of years ago in Corinth, he says, if you only have hope in Christ in this life, you're miserable. If you think this is the end, and I know some people that do think that it's all over. But it'll never be over, ever, brethren, for the child of God, ever. You'll live on forever. I want to talk to you, brethren, about that this morning. And there are two Old Testament saints who knew what we know when we read these scriptures about the resurrection. And there are two sections. One is in two selections I want to read to you. One Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians, this chapter 15. All 58 verses, brethren, cover the resurrection of Jesus and your resurrection. They talk about that. It's almost a treatise like chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. And then Paul talks about it again in 1 Thessalonians. Before we go to those verses, though, I want to go to the Old Testament, the book of Job. Job, you know Job. You remember Job. He was a wonderful man, and he knew, brethren, about the resurrection. He knew about it. We can read what the New Testament writers say about it, because God revealed it to them. But brethren, God, who changes not, He revealed it to some of the Old Testament people, and they commented about it. Job was the man that suffered so much. I would suggest to you that he suffered more than any other man, anytime, anywhere, except for Jesus. Jesus suffered more. He suffered physically, and he suffered your sin and my sin being placed on him. And that, brethren, he dreaded, I believe, more than the physical suffering. But Jesus suffered most. But I believe, brethren, Job's up there. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Eschewed means avoided. He stayed away from evil. He was a perfect man, it says. That doesn't mean he was sinless, because we know all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But brethren, he was a good one. In Job's life, you have to look real close to find some sin, but it was there because we've all sinned. But he was a good man. He feared God. He was upright, and he eschewed evil. He avoided evil. And this Job who lost his possessions, he was a very wealthy man. And God allowed that his wealth be drained from him. One of his servants came to him and started giving him a report. And before that servant could even finish, another one came in and gave him another report. The Sabaeans came and took this, and these came and took that. He had livestock all over the place. And the fire from heaven came down and destroyed. He lost his children all in one fell swoop. The house fell on him. A tornado apparently came, and storm came and crushed the house and killed his children. And then, brethren, he still remained faithful and true to God, and then he began to lose his health. You know this story of Job. Read it. It's wonderful. Reread it. It's wonderful. But in that time, brethren, in all that suffering, Job never cursed God. His wife said, "Curse God and die." But Job refused to do it, brethren. In chapter 13, this man who was so good and suffered so much, brethren, he wrote something about the resurrection. I want to read it to you. He trusted God. Chapter 13, verse 15, Job said this. When his friends were saying, "Job, you're a bad fellow. You must have sinned. This has got to be a reason for all this." And Job said this about his trust in God. Job 13:15. I love this verse. This is how much Job trusted God, brethren. He said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." That's trusting God right there, brethren. That's the point where you and I ought to be. We'll trust him no matter what. And now, about the resurrection, let's see, that's in Job 14 and 15. Job 14, Job says this, "If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait," now get this, "till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee." Now, he may be talking about present time as he's living, but I take it that he's talking about the resurrection. Jesus said, "The time is coming when those that are in the graves shall hear the sound of Jesus' voice, and they'll come forth." And I think that's what Job's referring to here. "Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. My change is coming." We're going to read in a little while about Paul saying, "We're going to be changed." We're going to be changed, brethren, because when my body, if Jesus doesn't come back the final time before, I'm going to die. And my body's going to be placed in a casket, and that casket will be placed in a vault, and that vault will be placed in a hole in the ground and covered up. I want to be buried, not cremated. I don't know what y'all want, but burial was good enough for Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and you may be contemplating cremation, and it's your business, actually, but, you know, firewood's been around a long time, and I figure if God had wanted people to be cremated, all through the Old Testament, you read they're buried. They're buried. Abraham bought a cave to bury Sarah in, and they used it for generations, the cave. I was thinking about that. You read articles about it and whether it's good or not, whether it should be done. I think it's done a lot these days for this reason right here. $10,000 is about the going price for a burial, a funeral, and that's a lot of money. But you can get cremated for a lot less, they say. But brethren, it's just something about God made my body. God made it. And I know if I'm blown to bits, he can change me back into an immortal body, an incorruptible body. He can do it, and I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried that he can't gather me up from my ashes. But brethren, I just think that somehow it's better to be buried anyway. Job is talking about. He says, "My chains come," and what I think he means there to me, he means his body is going to be dust, but it's going to change. It's going to change to an immortal body and be reunited with his spirit. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait. That may be that he's talking about his body waiting in the grave till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. That's the voice of Christ Jesus, brethren, calling those who are dead in Christ, asleep in Jesus, to life. Again, to their join with their spirit and their body, ever to be with the Lord. And now Job 19, this is the best. This is gets better. Watch this, Job 19. Listen to this. I'm going to start with verse 23. Oh, that my words were now written. There's an exclamation point at the end of that sentence. Oh, that they were printed in a book, exclamation point. That they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever, exclamation point. You get the idea? Job wants us to listen to what he's saying here. For these are the words, brethren, Job wants you and me to get. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, it's going to decay, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another. That's Job, brethren, talking about his resurrected body will have flesh, and he will see his Redeemer, and not another. That's good right there, brother. That's Job talking about the resurrection. That's Job. That's that man that lived in the land of Uz and was perfect and upright, and feared God and eschewed evil, and God loved him, brethren, and helped him in all his suffering. That's Job, famous man of the Old Testament. I want to give you the words of another famous man of the Old Testament. His name was David. In the New Testament, he's described as a man after God's own heart. What a man David was. I've been reading through 1 and 2 Samuel lately, and 1 and 2 Kings. I'm just starting 1 Kings. Let me read you something. I read this week. David died this week, brethren. I covered it. It's he got old, and he died. And he said, I'm going the way of all flesh. 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2. He called his son in to see him, his son Solomon. He said, I'm about to die. 1 Kings 2. Now David was old and well and stricken in years. And he was suffering. They had to try to help him. And then he died. Chapter 1. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. He called Solomon in. Chapter 2, 1 Kings, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. He says, I go the way of all the earth. I'm about to die. We all die. Verse 10. So David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And the days of David that David reigned over Israel were 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron. 33 years he reigned in Jerusalem. Reigned for 40 years. And then he died. But brethren, in Psalm 17, we have the words of David about the resurrection. This great king of Israel, he went the way of all flesh. Psalm 17, verse 15. He says this, as for me, he wrote a lot of psalms, wrote a lot of songs that contain the truths of God. And this is one of them, Psalm number 17. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied, get this, when I awake with thy likeness. Death in the Word of God is often compared to, likened to a sleep. You take naps, go to bed at night. Jan will say to me often, did you sleep well? Did you sleep good? Sometimes I take a nap and I wake up. I go to bed at night, I wake up the next morning. So far, God's blessed me. And that's the way, brethren, that death is. We lie down, but we will arise from that. When the voice of Jesus calls, the graves will be empty. Let's read what Paul the Apostle says about it. Before we go there, John's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 29, Jesus says, they shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. The hour is coming when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall live. That speaks of the new birth. He calls us from death unto life. But there's also a resurrection, brethren, of life, eternal life, never-ending life. That's the physical resurrection of the body. Let me read to you now in the New Testament from the writings of Paul. Two places, 1 Corinthians and 1 Thessalonians. We were in 1 Corinthians when we read our verse for this morning. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Now I want to read to you, brethren, verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. That's a time salvation. That's believing on Jesus. If ye keep in memory what I preached to you, unless ye have believed in vain. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, this is verse 4, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Now verse 20. But now is Christ, this follows verse 19, our verse for the day. Let me read 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. You see, he's talking about death there when he says sleeping. He says Christ is the first fruits of those that slept, or that those are that are asleep. First fruits. What does that mean? Two or three different things. One of them is this. He's the first one to arise from the grave, never to die again. There were some people in the Old Testament and in the New that were dead and they were raised to life again. But they died again. Jesus is the first fruits of them that slept. He's the first to die, be put in a grave, rise again, never to die again. He's the first to enter into God's presence from the grave. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. He precedes, the brethren, he precedes you in death. You follow him in death. He precedes you in the resurrection. You and I will follow him in the resurrection. Thank God for that. His voice will call to us. whether we're cremated or not, blown to bits, or just placed in a nice casket and buried. No matter, you'll hear His voice and you'll come forth. And you'll be changed. This same chapter, I told you it talked a lot about the resurrection. Go to the end of the chapter and look at verse 51. Paul says this in the closing words of the chapter. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Remember I said that if Jesus comes back, there'll be people living on the earth. And those won't experience death, physical death. We won't all sleep, but we shall all be changed. You got to be changed, brethren. Your body's got to be changed to get into heaven. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. We'll get a new body, an incorruptible body, and we shall be changed. Job, David said, I'm waiting on my change. I'm going to be changed. Verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. No more death. Nothing to worry about. It's gone. It's over. Victory in Jesus, our Savior, forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me before I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Death is swallowed up in victory. Then he asked a wonderful rhetorical question here. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You don't have it. Death doesn't have it because death's been overcome by life. Life through Christ. Now to the other section of verses where Paul talks about the resurrection. It's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to read 13 through 18. But we're going to read 18 first, brethren. Because 18 says this, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I like to start with verse 18. Because that alerts me that if I skip back up to verse 13, these are going to be comforting words to me. And we can comfort one another with these words when we have experienced of the loss of a loved one, or when we're contemplating our own demise. Comfort one another with these words. Here are the words, brethren. You read them this morning. Do they look familiar to you? Beginning in verse 13? You read them at the beginning of this service. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Asleep in Jesus. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. No hope. No hope beyond this life. If in this life only you have hope in Christ Jesus, you're of all men most miserable. In this life only. But we're talking about a life after the physical death. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, God has shown me this, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. And that word prevent there means precede. They're going to be coming, showing up first. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. Remember he mentioned the trumpet shall sound in Corinthians. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. The dead in Christ are going to rise. You're going to hear His voice and rise, just like Job said. Then we, which are alive and remain, those who are alive at the time of the final coming of Christ, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now, brethren, here's some comfortable words right here. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We were reading in 1 Corinthians just a minute ago. I want to go back there in closing. It's the last verse I want to cite to you. 1 Corinthians, two verses, 57 and 58. 1 Corinthians 15, that's that wonderful chapter on the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, 57 and 58. He's just talked about the resurrection. And he says, but thanks be to God, which has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how we get the victory over death, through Jesus. Because you live, because I live, you shall live also. Therefore, my beloved brethren, he says all that to say this. Therefore, my beloved brethren, believers, this right here, brethren, is what you and I need to leave here today and put into practice. Be ye steadfast in your hope, unmovable in your faith, in your belief, always abounding in the work of the Lord, busy about the Master's business. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We have a work to do. We're created unto good works while we live here. It'll never be in vain. You can't work your way to heaven. You work because you go into heaven. You work because God loves you. You love Him because He first loved you. Therefore, brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God bless, I pray, what I've said to be according to His doctrine, His word, and His will. And God bless it to our edification, I pray.